We have more Inside Wealth and Out right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. We're here with Michael Dulworth, author of The Connect Effect, and he's not simply an author. He also is a CEO of Executive Networks, Inc., which is a leader in peer networks for human resource professionals and large organizations. So he's not just simply writing about this stuff. He's actually a practitioner. And we're going to get that map out right now, because especially for the people who may not characterize themselves as good networkers for one reason or another, how can people start to acquire that skill and move their EIQ and their NQ upwards?
Well, the first thing I suggest to people is that they map their network. You can do that in multiple ways. You can just simply, I was born, I had two parents. They're the first two people in my network. Then I have my sisters and my siblings. They're the next people in my network, aunts, uncles, friends. You go to school, you go to college, you start your jobs, and your network just organically builds from birth, you know, through your life. So I think it's important to map your network to begin with. Not, you know, it doesn't have to be everybody you've met in your whole lifetime, but just those people who you remember or you think are important members of your network. And I think what you'll find by that is, one, that your network is probably better than you think it is. Two, you'll find the gaps in your network. You'll find those areas where you're not really have very strong connections with people that you really may want to have good connections with, whether that's in a job context or in your city or where you live or in your community or in your church, whatever it is, there's just areas that you might want to focus in on and might want to try to do a better job, you know, within those areas. I then talk about playing a game, and it's called the 1 degree of separation game. So you have your network in place, you have a model or a map of that network, and then you play 1 degree of separation. And what I find is that 1 degree of separation is actually very powerful. 2 degrees, 3 degrees, and then obviously the thing you hear about, 6 degrees.
Right, and next thing you know, we all know Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. That's not very helpful for people in really their life or in terms of leveraging a network, but 1 degree certainly is. And once you even put that layer on top of your existing network, then you're like, oh, wow, you know, my network is really a lot better than I think it is. Then it's all about filling in those gaps, expanding it, making your network much more diverse, because I did about 30.
So when you say gaps, mm-hmm. are you talking about the gap between where your network map is today and where your destination is, or where you want to be networked at some point in the future that you're not there yet?
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, let's say you have a career aspiration in one aspect or another. You know, you would look at your network and say, how can my network help me get to that career destination? And it'll show that you have some gaps or some people that you need to meet, some people that are players in that space, if you will. And for my career, I was sort of came out of the organization development, organizational behavior consulting kind of career area. I had a lot of people that I met over time, and one of my goals was to publish with them. So I would meet, I didn't publish with Marshall Goldsmith, but people like Marshall, and I would try to get published with them, write an article, even a book chapter, those types of things. And so I would get associated with them in that regard. And then they become, you know, a really pretty integral part of my network. I also talk about that as being sort of the halo effect of association with people within your network. Because if I've published with somebody like a Marshall Goldsmith, you know, his brand and his reputation, in a sense, becomes a halo that, you know, my head.
Let's put our feet in the shoes of some of our audience out there who, if you think that maybe you're either introverted or maybe networking isn't your primary forte in life, why would a star or somebody who has greater influence in the world want to work with me?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think a lot of people like that like to give back to the domain, the discipline, that sort of thing. They like to mentor. You know, there's a lot of intrinsic value that they get out of helping other people, and they want to share. You know, it's just part of their DNA, I think, for a lot of successful people in that regard to want to give back.
I'm wondering if, in fact, that has been a key to their success all along. is their dedication to being of service to others, which very often has the financial value attached with it that has led them up the food chain in their profession.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my top 10 list items is give first and give often. So a lot of people think about networking as, you know, kind of me, me, me. I'm trying to build my network so I can gain value from it. I can leverage it. It's actually the exact opposite. What you need to do is you need to try to build relationships with people and give them stuff and give them things of value, you know, help them find a job, help them locate something, give them some piece of information. And then when you need them, you know, they've remembered that you've given them, and they're willing to reciprocate. So I heard a lot when I did these interviews for my book, and I did about 35 of them. As I mentioned, reciprocity was just a huge aspect of this networking dynamic.
You know, that's a great point. You know, I used to be a money manager in the stock market, and we traded information all the time about different companies and everything. And a good friend from Boston, a longtime institutional sales guy, said to me, "Hey, Stu, they named a street after you in Boston." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, it's called One Way." What do you got for me?
Exactly. I think it's one of the critical elements of effective networking. You know, diversity being another. I mean, I am in what I call the network zone currently, that my network is so broad, is so deep, is so diverse, that I can really accomplish anything that I set out to do better, faster, you know, more efficiently, more effectively through my network. And it's the sports analogy of, you know, when people enter the zone and they just perform at this incredible level. I think my network is really that good now that I can accomplish anything so much better through my network than I could do on my own.
So may I ask you a question?
Sure.
What do you want to accomplish?
Well, one of the things that I've been working on recently is building a homeless, transitional homeless facility for older homeless women in San Francisco. I had met this woman, a homeless woman on the street. She was 65 years old. It really upset me that somebody like that could be on the street. And so I thought about it and I said, you know, I want to try to do something about this. So almost instantaneously, I was able to tap into my network and I was able to pull together a group of about 10 people, you know, a lawyer, an architect, a builder, a social psychologist, you know, lots of medical doctor, people who knew a lot about this issue from multiple angles. And we formed this team to go and build this transitional housing facility for older homeless women in San Francisco. I mean, I never could have gotten that off the ground or even started thinking about that, I don't think, very much on my own. But through these people, I've then met a whole nother group of people, you know, through their network and other ways. And now, I mean, the ball is rolling. We actually have a plan in place. We're trying to get this executed. I've met with the mayor of San Francisco. I met with his head of homelessness for the city of San Francisco. You know, we have a plan in place to build this facility over the next, you know, may take a year or two to build it. But, you know, it's something, I think, an example of what you can accomplish through your network that I never could have done on my own.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And
I'm glad to hear that you're making real traction and that you're eating home cooking, you know, because it's so easy. It's not easy to write a book. In case you've tried out there, you know, it takes a lot of brain power and a lot of time and a lot of, you know, iterations and all that other stuff and moving through blocks and whatever you. But beyond that, you know, books are great and everything, but we're living in this reality here. And it's about taking these principles and putting them into action and grounding them. So, you know, a lot of people have ideas about networking for whatever it is they could possibly want to achieve in life that are either wrong or somehow based on myth. Is there any conventional wisdom out there that people would typically take as given when in fact it's absolutely false?
Well, yeah, I think the maybe the biggest one in a networking context is the bigger the network, the better. And what actually is the case, it's the quality of your network that matters. And that could be a 50-person network that is really the right network and the right network for you and a network that you've cultivated and have the right kind of relationships with, especially in this virtual world that we're in with social networks and MySpace and Facebook and Friendster and all these types of things. I think people think numbers are the answer. And numbers are important. I'm not downplaying that at some level because there's maybe certain things you can accomplish through numbers that you can't accomplished necessarily through quality. But I start with quality, and then I think the numbers, you know, come after that in terms of diversity and the scale of what you're trying to do. I think, you know, Obama's campaign is a really good example of that, where he was able to build this base of contributors, not just people who are giving him money, but are actually engaged in his campaign. You go to his site, it's all about how can, you know, you get involved? How can you get engaged in this? How can you participate? And by the way, we'd like $100. You know, it's that kind of a message. And he has 650,000, you know, contributors in that regard, which I think shows the power of the network. I have this quote that I particularly like in my book, which is, networks can change the world. Every node matters. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we're really talking about here, that networks really can change the world, both societal, you know, in that context, but also your world, your personal world. Networks can have an enormous impact on your world, but every node matters. Every person matters in that network, and no two people are more important than the other. You don't know when somebody's going to become more important than the other. You have to pay attention to everybody. You have to reciprocate. You have to give first, give often, and that's really the key.
Again, we're here with Michael Dulworth, and we're talking about the Connect Effect and building a network that's going to take your life to a new level. And as you pointed out, and glad to hear that I get to pat myself on the back for being a good student every now and then and listening and observing, that it's not just who you know. It's how well you know them and the quality of that relationship that's really going to determine the strength of your network. And we all know that, whether you call it network or you call it your friends, where the quality of your friendship, it's that's what it's about. It's about giving of ourselves. A lot of it, on one level, is common sense. And on the other level, in this rat race that we live in, where we get so caught up in our to-do list and trying to keep our eyes above the bills or move that market share going forward or mollify and appease our shareholders or whatever position you happen to be in, it is so easy to lose sight. And that's what this is about. In fact, if you have any questions, we really are here. You're talking about giving first. We're giving first in a new way here. We're doing our best to have this radio be radioactive, if you will, and radio interactive. If you have a question for Michael and how you can build your network, would you do me a favor and email me at stu@enjoymedia.com? That's stu@enjoymedia.com. We'll pass it on to Michael. We'll make sure you get an answer. And, you know, we are in this together. And you know what? You're a node out there, among other things. And you matter, and we're there. So we got a couple minutes left in the segment, Michael. What else? Are there any other either do's or don'ts or anything that you want to leave our audience with in terms of, you know, action items?
Well, I do think that as we get into this virtual world of social networks, that you have to pay attention to how you interact in those environments. And I have a whole chapter in the book on virtual networking. I talk about personal networks, professional networks, and virtual networks. And obviously, personal and professional networks can be virtual in nature, but I was really wanting to address that issue as its own, you know, sort of distinct, issue, if you will. And one of the things that people that I interviewed and that I talked to related to me around virtual networking is that you need to sort of bring the same level of trust and relationship building to virtual networking than you do face-to-face networking. And some of it is even at the level of communication. Of course, with IM, email, you know, we're sending each other cryptic messages, we're, you know, capitalizing things, we're even maybe using swear words or, you know, sort of inappropriate language, we're not using, you know, sort of standard punctuation and you know, conventions around the use of language. And they said, you know, really, you need to sort of treat it exactly the same way as you do. Maybe once you get to be best friends with somebody, you can start IMing them in a more cryptic way. You know, early on, you really need to kind of
need a strong a strong foundation.
Exactly.
What about, we got a minute left. What about LinkedIn as an example? A lot of people, business people out there use it as a virtual network. Is that worthwhile, or is it just one of those cases where, you know, you get out of it what you put into it?
I think it depends. I think that for people that maybe don't have very good networks to start off with. The ideas behind LinkedIn, where you get connected to other people's networks and they're the conduit to those networks, can be very powerful and take, you know, your network 10x, I mean, in that regard. Again, the person that you're trying to network through that has the relationships with those people, they have to want to do that. They want to have to open the door for you. And if you're just somebody who they barely know or don't know at all, they're not going to trust you to go have that, you know, connection with that person. They're not going to open that door for you. So I think you have to understand what it's good for, realize its limitations, and, you know, use it for what, you know, you can get through, you know, from it in that regard.
Michael Dulworth, author of The Connect Effect, thank you so much for joining us today and edifying us all on how we can build our networks.
Well, thank you for having me.
We have more Wealth to Share right here on KNEW 910 AM San Francisco.